Psalm 19, hear now the word of our Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.
I want to back up today a little bit from where we ended off 2 weeks ago. I wanted to extend what we were speaking about back then, which was the Greek word pleroma, which means to fill, and the fullness thereof in the Scripture. And yet we had a guest speaker, Jeff Brown, and then Jan was to speak one day, one of the weeks I was gone. And so I want to move on today with that same subject to some degree and speak to you about the temporary nature of the present heaven and earth. The temporary nature of the present heaven and earth. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, page 1764, and it is the 11th verse that we want to look at. Here in this 11th verse is a rather strange expression. Verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The eternal purpose. What is that? What is the eternal purpose? What is God up to? Are we merely just spinning in space adrift? Or is there a plan? And what is that eternal purpose that is mentioned here? Well, the first thing I want to point out is that this is not the best translation in Scripture. And if you look back, those of you that use the Companion Bible, if you'll look back in the very last of the appendix in the back, you'll find a structure there of the whole Bible, and it's actually entitled The Eternal Purpose, and it comes from Ephesians 3:11. But in that verse, the word that is translated eternal is aeon. It's the Greek word aeon. And it can be translated as many Greek words, into many different English words. Obviously, it is eternal. Is one word. I can't spell here this morning. I'll write this up here. It can be translated eternal. It can be translated forever. It can be translated course. It can be translated perpetuity. It can be translated everlasting. I think that's the major ones that it can be. It can be translated the beginning of. The beginning of. And it can be translated world. But if you look in a Greek dictionary, you'll find that the first word given that aeon is translated into is age or ages. That's the first and primary meaning of the word aeon. And we find that word throughout Scripture in all of these other ways: eternal, forever, course, perpetuity, beginning of, and so forth. It reads as follows. If you're reading in the English, what we just read, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you pick up a Greek New Testament, you'll find that it reads this way: according to the purpose of the ages, which he made in Christ Jesus the Lord. This is the most accurate translation. And why the translators of the Revised Version used eternal, I don't know. It probably has something to do with the fact that they were working from Latin and not going strictly from Koine Greek to English. So aeon, the primary meaning is age, the purpose of the age. Now, eternal purpose has a grandiose sound. I realize that. It smacks of reality and indefectibility. It makes for great drama. It sounds like some grand thing that you might have a theme for Star Wars or something. However, it is, in fact, a double violation of the translation. The noun aeon is translated as though it were an adjective, and eternity is put where age should have been. The Bible does not speak of eternity. It is not written to tell us such. It does not tell us about eternity. Eternity is outside of what Scripture teaches. Now, once eternity is revealed, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of wondrous things revealed to us at the end of the purpose of the ages. But today, speculation about what is going to be eternal is just worthless and profitless. You can't waste your time thinking about that because the Bible doesn't teach about it. Just as the Bible doesn't set out to prove the existence of God, it does not explain the building blocks of creation, nor does it teach much before or beyond the boundaries of the ages. So the question then becomes, when do the ages begin and when do the ages end? Let's take a look at Romans, the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, page 1694 in the Companion Bible. Romans chapter 16. And we'll look at beginning with verse 25 in that chapter. We are now armed with some new information that aeon can be translated age as well as world and a lot of other things as well. So in reading here, we'll start with verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now if you stick age in there, since the age began, you begin to have a little different sense of what's being talked about. Verse 26, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So here we can see that since the age began, Now, if something has a beginning and something has an end, then it cannot be eternal. Because something that was eternal would have no start and no finish. It would be forever. It is at this beginning, the beginning of the age, that we find the six-day creation in Genesis 1. And all of a sudden, there are other expressions in Scripture then that begin to take on a different meaning. For example, we find in Scripture words like the world to come, or this world, which could be this age, or the age to come. We find the term the end of the world, which can be and probably should be translated the end of the age. It takes on new meaning when you understand what is the first meaning of the word aion. And in looking at Scripture, it becomes always necessary in order to get to the bottom of what's being taught. You have to determine the difference between time and place. You look at other parallel scriptures and you look at the context of the words around it and what the meaning of these words can be. Now, just as the age has a beginning, it also has an end. If you will, turn over to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, page 1809. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, or before the age began. So we see in these two different references that there is a beginning and there is an end to the age. And eternal is not a good concept when you begin to talk about the purpose that God has and his plan for the world. The age that we are currently living in is temporary. It's not something that is permanent. Turn, if you will, to Colossians, the first chapter, page 1782, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Those things which are seen, those things which are not seen. Now turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, page 1734 in the Companion Bible, chapter 4, and go to verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here we see in Colossians that he created both that which is invisible and that which is not invisible. That which is visible. And here we see, for the things which are seen are temporal. That means everything we're looking at is temporary. You are temporary. Your body is temporary. This earth, the creation of Genesis chapter 1, is temporary. It's the things that are seen that one day will go off the horizon. But this thing that is seen, this creation, is the first step in God's movement towards the goal of the ages. It is, if you will, as we spoke about 2 weeks ago, the fuller at work. In him will all things be filled. And it's the beginning of the redemptive nature of the purpose of the ages in Christ Jesus. This temporary thing that we see that's visible to us, we find that there's a comprehensive gap that occurred. And 2 weeks ago, we learned about the extreme importance of the word pleroo in the Greek, which means fullness, or it means to fill, and how that word, fullness, is a word that is in contrast to everything that is desolate, everything that is wasted, everything that is void and without form. Pleroo is a direct opposite of that. It's fullness. And if you remember, at the time, when we were speaking about that, I had a piece of cloth. And I was demonstrating the fact that this piece of cloth represents in its fullness the perfect universe that God created in the beginning. No sin, no iniquity. It's just a full piece of cloth. But into that perfect setting, that perfect universe that God created in Genesis 1:1, the angels and Satan fell. And into this perfect universe was created a rent, a gap, if you will. And into this gap, this rent that occurred in God's perfect universe and creation, sets the present day 6-day creation of Genesis chapter 1. It is placed in this hole as a filling, where the fuller who fills cloth, who makes cloth, to carry the redemptive purpose through the ages. In this is where we sat today. That's where we are. Here is where the ages began. Genesis 1, 2. A catastrophic event. Over here, at the end of the rent, when the cloth is full, and there's a new piece, and there's no patch put in, by the way, it's a new piece of cloth. Over here at the end of the rip, or the gap, we find Revelation, the 21st chapter, where we have a new heaven and a new earth. In this gap is those things which are seen. They are not invisible. They are seen, and therefore they are temporary. And until God's eternal purpose for the ages is complete, this gap exists. Unfortunately, in the interim, we are subject to the rigorous process of God's filling or fulling of cloth. And we've talked about how cloth is made and how rigorous it is. That cloth is put with lye and nitrate and bleach and stomped and stretched and washed and until it comes out soft and nice piece of cloth. And that's what we are suffering today. We are in the midst of the fuller's process. When life sometimes seems like it's not fair, we've got to remember that what is occurring is the fulling of cloth. Now, the temporary nature of this hole in this cloth is seen in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, where the tent is put up and so forth in the Old Testament tabernacle. And if you will, turn back to the book of Isaiah, page 981. Is where we'll start. There's several verses in Isaiah that we'll look at, but turn back to Isaiah chapter 40, page 981. Verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretched out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. So here we see the heavens or the firmament that we see and where the birds fly that is stretched out. It is God's part of his plan for the purpose of the ages. Turn over to chapter 42. Chapter 42, verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Another reference to the heavens being stretched out. Turn to chapter 44 of Isaiah. Chapter 44, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Zechariah 12:1, page 1292. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretched forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. So here we see something rolled out and stretched out, and it's the firmament. It is not the heaven above heavens. It is not the abode of God where Christ sits. There are two words in Scripture that identify these heavens, and this one is being talked about is the firmament, which we see where birds fly and where all the constellations are and so forth. Now, turn back to Isaiah, page 972, the 34th chapter of Isaiah, page 972. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 4. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, and the leaf falleth off from the vine as a falling fig from the fig tree. Here we see what was stretched out rolled up again. That's because it was temporary. It was the things which are seen, not the invisible. God rolled it out. He'll stretch it. He'll roll it out. He'll roll it up. Turn over to Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together. And every mountain and every... Here we see that the heavens are rolled up, stretched out, then rolled up. Hebrews chapter 1, back up to Hebrews, page 1824. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as does a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So the things that are seen are temporary. And sometimes a graph or a diagram makes it a little bit easier to see. And even though I'm not very good at putting stuff up here on the board, I'm going to make a diagram for you to take a look at it. Up here, above all, we have the heavens that will never fail or depart from us. In that heaven today, this is where Christ, over here on the left-hand side of the page, we have the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1. We have the beginning of heaven and earth. Into that perfect creation comes this rent that I was talking about when I ripped the cloth. And in that rent is everything that was a catastrophic event. That is what happened at Genesis 1, verse 2. And the earth became without void and form. And at that point, we find the six-day creation of Genesis chapter 1. This is where the Lord stretched out the heavens that are known as the firmament. This is where we are today. This is the ages that we live in. This is what is temporary, what God has stretched out. This is where the Pleroma begins. This is the first filling of the gap that exists. It's the first part of the redemptive purpose of God in the plan of the ages. This is where man is. This is where Satan is also, where we are today, into this gap. Now, there will come a time when this firmament that exists, that stretched out, is rolled up again. And we saw this in Isaiah 34. And this will be, as you can imagine, just as catastrophic event as what occurred back here in the beginning. When God rolls this up, I don't know what's, it's got to be something just catastrophic. But we can see that that's what's going to happen. It's going to take up what he put down. And on the other side of that then, we find in Revelation chapter 21, new heaven and a new earth, wherein righteousness dwells. Any questions? Y'all got that down perfect. What does this have to do with the salvation, the Christ crucifixion, and so forth? Well, it doesn't change any of that. This adds to it, and you can begin to see actually part of what the purpose of the age is. And we talked about, last 2 weeks ago, we talked about the wheel within a wheel that was in Ezekiel, and we saw how there was one gap that gave way to another, one dispensation to another, and there's a filling that's taking place within here, and it has to do with Adam and his world, Noah and his world, Abraham and his world, until the fullness of time when Christ steps into the picture. But ultimately, Christ will be all in all. And at that point, this right here is going to be rolled back again. And it will be something that is now seen will become invisible. Can't comprehend that totally. But we now see through a glass darkly. One day, we'll understand more. Sarah, say that again. The heavens that where he sets, the only thing that's not there is the church.
But that's where Satan was.
Satan fell. Satan was cast out of here, and he's down to this firmament. He's here. You know, man. Man's been given dominance over the ages. The age there is headed by man, but inhabited by Satan as well. Any other questions? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your written word and what a understanding it can provide for us. Lends credence to what we think and believe and what we know. Strengthens our faith. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. For it's in his name that I pray. Amen.